Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, thank you, Mark Daniels, and good afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. On behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And also today is our Washington beat with attorney David New, and he will be with us during our second segment, and we are looking forward to having him with us. But we do thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. Something that is out there right now, in a number of different news venues, Sam, is the idea that the United States officials are warning that there is no way to monitor ISIS's online encrypted messages. The article that I have here before me says that with ISIS distributing its propaganda and recruiting messages to as many as 200,000 people on the social media worldwide, United States officials warned yesterday that there is no way to monitor their entire encrypted communications. The officials appearing before the House Homeland Security Committee said while there are only several thousand hardcore ISIS propagandists, technology was complicating efforts to monitor them. Sam, I don't know. This seems to be a great concern, could be a great concern. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Gary, I think it could go one of two ways. One, obviously, a lot of this is tied into the changes in the Patriot Act that Rand Paul really pushed himself forward on here recently. And there are two sides of this equation. Mitch McConnell in the Senate says this is bad news, the changes that were made, and that the inability to grab bulk data, which this is what kind of talking about here in that forum, the inability now to do that will set us up for trouble. And he's basically saying that it will open the door for terrorist type actions that we won't be able to control. On the other hand, others that are saying, no, you've been trampling on the rights of all Americans openly, freely, and that can never be sacrificed, and that it's not true. Because if you have a suspicion, even under the changes in the act, you can still get a federal court order to be able to listen in. Now, this thing you're saying is basically they're coming out and saying they don't even have the technical ability. In some respects, I doubt that, Gary. And I think that if it, in fact, was true, I don't know, you'd probably be hearing it in the press. But nonetheless, I think there's been a lot of things floating around these past days talking about the kind of action, communication going back and forth, inability for government to collect it, and the what if and the what if, you know, that kind of thing. I kind of put this in that category. I take it not full-faced accurate. It could be, but I doubt it. But certainly there is a lot of action, continuing communication increasing, and there's a lot of folks saying, hey, watch out, there's so many guys here right now, we can't control it. I don't know. I think we need to be very careful we don't get ourselves put on edge and read too much more into it than what's there.
Well, you know, that could very well be. Michael Steinbuch, who is the head of the FBI's counterterrorism division, basically said that he was concerned that evolving technologies were outpacing laws that allow law enforcement to intercept communications by suspects. Again, Sam, you know, there could be a lot of truth to that. That could be half truth. That could be partial truth. From your perspective, how should we approach this?
Well, here again, I mean, to hear that comment, again, so much of what we hear coming out of official news is propagandized. It's made for a predictable impact and response on the listeners. Sad to say, because by and large, we have left or lost press that is objective, and a press that is really telling the truth. We've had a stilted press for a long time. So I look at that and I say, I hear that comment. And basically what he said there was that they'd need more laws, basically that technology is outpacing our laws. Frankly, I think a properly written law permits a movement along with technology, the rights and freedoms of people, such as government just can't step in and just take people's rights. That is a matter of law. But if, in fact, there is a reason to believe, even in the current law, a court order is able to allow it to be taken place. So I think there's a tension here between an increasing federal government saying we want more laws, because if we don't have more laws to control people's lives, we can't control safety and maintain it, balancing that with our freedoms. I think that's the tension that's underway here, Gary.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. And, boy, you know, we've got to go at these things, ladies and gentlemen, with a balanced perspective. And once again, you know, from the Christian perspective, we believe that on a consistent basis, we need to ask God for not only for wisdom, but for discernment on some of these things. And here on Stand in the Gap today, we want to try to help you sort through some of these things so that we can have the proper approach and perspective of them or to them. I want to shift gears a little bit and go to you, David Kistler. I'm not sure if he's done it yet or not, but we understand that Rick Perry is going to announce today that he's going to run for the presidency of the United States of America. And it seems as though that he can't even catch a break on this announcement, in the sense that on the day that he is planning on announcing himself, very early this morning, Jeb Bush announced that he's going to announce that he's going to run for the presidency on June the 15th. And at the same time, Hillary Clinton is down in Texas. You know, of course, that's Rick Perry's home state and home territory. And I kind of like Rick Perry on a personal basis, but it seems like even as he ended his campaign in a hard way last time, it almost appears, Dave, as though he's beginning his campaign in a hard way this time, in the sense that Jeb Bush announced that he's going to announce that he's going to run for the presidency, and Clinton and Hillary Clinton is in Texas. Poor Rick Perry.
Well, you know, Gary, the situation with Hillary being in Texas is probably a coincidence. The situation with Jeb Bush announcing that he's going to announce, that's probably not coincidental. He decided to do that strategically. But I'll tell you what, from what I've heard about the announcement for Governor Perry, it's going to be a manly announcement, if I can word it that way. There's a C-130 transport plane that's going to be involved. As a backdrop, it has Governor Perry's name on it. Of course, he was very much involved in the military himself, served. He is a Texan. And I will say this, he will bring to the table a robust discussion and a robust approach, a very manly approach to the presidency. And I'll be honest with you guys, I like Rick Perry a lot. My wife's parents, of course, are Texans. My wife grew up in Texas, and the Texas economy is booming to a large degree because of the policies of Rick Perry. So some are discounting him and saying, you know, he's not got a chance. You know, he's a dark horse. He's, you know, at the bottom of the pack, and right now he is at the bottom of the pack. But I'll tell you what, I think his announcement today is going to propel him forward, and I think he's going to be a viable and very potentially powerful candidate.
Well, it will be interesting to watch all of these things and see how they develop. When we come back from our break, ladies and gentlemen, we will be having David New with us with our Washington beat. He's going to tell us everything that we need to know about some of the things that are taking place in Washington, D.C., so you won't want to miss this. I want to remind you, too, that tomorrow is Phone-In Friday, so get your phones ready to call. We'll talk more about that later on. Don't go away. We will be back with more right after this on Stand in the Gap today.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Hi, this is Carla Dedesi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And in just a moment, we are going to go to our Washington beat with David New. But Sam Rohr, I just have to ask you a question. You know, you have announced that you are going to run for a political office at least, what, 10 or 11 times, I guess. And this thing that has been going on in this presidential election cycle, that they announced that they're going to announce, that seems quite ridiculous to me. You know, why announce that you're going to announce? Why don't you just announce it and get it over with in the first place? What's the philosophy behind that?
Well, Gary, I think the big philosophy is that what I think everyone is seeing is that the more individuals who get involved in this race, the more it potentially dilutes the amount of support that any one person gets. And at this point in the process, because there is no one who's clearly ahead, I mean, you're talking percentage, just small percentage differences. Everybody's pretty much on a level bouncing right off the bottom. And that indicates that, that it's being very difficult for any one of them to really break through and achieve a strong, distinctive position. And when you announce that you're going to announce, all you're trying to do is to get another bite at the apple in the media. So they're trying to give themselves some bump when these surveys or things are given, because at this point it's very shallow at what people are saying. Their status still don't know where a lot of these candidates are, and the thing's still out. That's what's really happening here. They're trying to get some free media to try and give them a half a percentage boost in the next poll.
Well, it's very interesting to watch, and I just want you to know that I am going to announce that I'm going to announce that that David Ngu is with us as our Washington beat, and whether that gives me some more support or not, I don't know. But anyway. David Ngu, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to be with you.
Always a delight to have you with us and the insight and the information that you have to share with us as our Washington attorney. And what is it that you have for us today that we need to know and understand, my friend?
Well, I think that what has happened last week, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa submitted a bill that I would ask the audience in the program today to support by calling the Capitol Hill switchboard and let your voice be heard to say that you support this bill. The title of the bill is the Judicial Transparency and Ethics Enhancement Act of 2015. Just call it the bill by Charles Senator Grassley called Judicial Transparency if you want. And this bill is a very important bill. The judicial branch of government, the federal judiciary, is in a lot of trouble. The Supreme Court, I'm sad to say, does not follow our Constitution the way it should at all.
Isn't that true?
They aren't behaving. Yes, they're not behaving the way courts used to behave in the United States, where they limit, they do the least amount of possible judging. You know, there's an old saying, the best judge is the one who judges as little as possible. These judges on the Supreme Court have gone far beyond their authority and their power. I think we saw that most recently in the vote in Ireland concerning same-sex marriage. The people, the citizens of Ireland, voted on the issue of same-sex marriage. I'm sad to say the vote was not a good one. But one thing I can say is that at least they got to vote, because it was such a basic issue of human rights and the basic issue of the family that at least in that country they had the power to vote. The citizens made that decision. The courts did not make it for them. I'm sad to say that in the United States that is not the case. The Supreme Court has stolen that power from the American people and have decided that they and they alone will decide the issue of same-sex marriage. I don't agree with what Ireland did, but I can at least respect it in the extent that there was a vote by the people. I don't believe the people voted wisely, but nevertheless, I can respect it because it's a legitimate vote. Now, this law, what this law will do is that it won't actually deal with these issues that I'm talking about, it, but will deal with another problem that's involved with the federal judiciary. Remember, the United States government spends about $7 billion a year to fund the federal court system throughout the United States. $7 billion. What's bad about that is that there is no inspector general. There needs to be an inspector general for the federal judiciary, just like there's an inspector general for the executive branch of government. We need to have this law passed. I believe in the independence of the federal judiciary. I am a supporter of that. There's no question that the judicial independence of the federal courts is an essential and valuable tool of American liberty and freedom. But when you have $7 billion out there, there's an opportunity for corruption in so many ways. And there's no real effective way to deal with it. You know, a lot of people don't know that these federal district judges make $174,000 per year. So they're very well paid in this, you know, because most people don't make that kind of money. And these people are very well paid, and yet there's no real effective way of dealing with a corruption issue. And the Judicial Transparency Act by Senator Charles Grassley, which he introduced on May 21st, 2015, will create an Inspector General's office. And this Inspector General will have a term of 4 years. He or she will be appointed by the Chief Justice of the United States with the consultation with the leaders in the Senate and the House, and he or she will have a term of 4 years. The duties will be to conduct investigations. Now, the most controversial one is this paragraph that says that the Inspector General will, quote-unquote, conduct investigations of alleged misconduct in the United States Supreme Court that may require oversight or other action within the judicial branch or by Congress. The IG cannot punish any judge or court or justice on the Supreme Court. He simply or she simply has the power to conduct investigations. The IG will have subpoena power. There are to make these investigations. The law specifically says, it specifically says under limits, that the Inspector General does not have the power to deal with any particular issue on the merits. For example, it says the Inspector General shall not have the authority to investigate or review any matter that is directly related to the merits of a decision or procedural ruling by any judge, justice, or court. Those are the exact words in that law, which means that they can't go after a judge or a court or a justice on the Supreme Court for how he or she voted on an issue or how they decided an issue. They can't go into the merits of the case. They are actually looking for criminal behavior, and they investigate criminal behavior, and also not just that, but waste, fraud, and abuse.
David, can I ask this?
This is necessary.
David, can I ask this question? Would this Inspector General had he or she been in place prior to the same-sex marriage case that's currently pending before the High Court, would he have been able or she have been able to review whether or not Ginsburg and Kagan should have recused themselves in this particular case of same-sex marriage because both of them have already performed same-sex marriage ceremonies?
As I read this law, this is you have. I wish you had an answer to ask that question because it's such a good question. This law, I don't think, deals with that issue about recusal. That is an important subject. You have hit the nail right on the head. We have two members of the Supreme Court who are conducting same-sex marriages, and they're going to be voting on this very issue. In my opinion, I thought that was most improper. Basically, I consider it to be unethical conduct. A judge, under the rules of our laws, is supposed to go out of his or her way not to place himself or herself in a compromising position. So, for example, you will not see judges going and joining all kinds of organizations that are very much slanted in one direction or another. They tend to avoid controversies in their private life. They tend to stay out of certain organizations that are, for example, they won't join pro-life organizations or something like that. They simply will not do that. This law does not deal with that. This law deals specifically with criminal behavior and things like that. Anyway, the Capitol Hill switchboard is 202-224-3121. And please give a call if you're willing to support this. I think they would love to hear from you on Capitol Hill. Let your congressman and senator know.
Okay, David New, we're going to talk more about this. I have a particular question to ask about the Inspector General. So we'll get back to that in just a moment after these messages. So ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. There is more Stand in the Gap today coming up right after this break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Make it 10 Republican candidates. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry announcing his run today for president in 2016, his second White House campaign.
Perry's 2012 run ended after the New Hampshire primary. A new Fox poll this week shows Perry nowhere near the top of the list of primary voters' choices. Democrats, however, still back Hillary Clinton 2-1.
Fox Radio's Eben Brown in Addison, Texas. Meantime, aides to Jeb Bush saying he'll formally announce his candidacy June 15th. No signs of life. The search of a capsized cruise ship continues in China.
Rescuers recovering at least 51 bodies today. Engineers cut three holes in the ship's hull but found no more survivors. A crane is in place and authorities say they may try to right the ship. Many of the missing were retirees taking a river cruise when the vessel encountered violent wind and rain.
Fox Radio's Alistair Wanklin. Fox News, we report, you decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The turning point in the Pacific War began today, June 4, 1942. American intelligence intercepted Japan's plans to capture Midway Island and from there Hawaii. The outnumbered U.S. fleet ambushed the Japanese armada but was losing badly. It was not until American dive bombers sighted the Japanese carriers at the precise moment their planes had left to attack the Yorktown. In just 5 minutes, the screeching dive bombers sank three Japanese carriers and a fourth shortly after. This providential event turned the war as Japan was never again able to go on the offensive.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you, Mark Daniels, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. On behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull. And as you heard, those of you who hear the Fox News at the bottom of the hour, I realize that not every radio station down the network plays the Fox News at the bottom of the hour. but our flagship station, WFYL, in Philadelphia does. And, of course, we heard that Rick Perry has officially announced that he's going to be running for the presidency of the United States of America. So here we go. And, wow. Sam, when are you going to announce, by the way?
Well, Gary, I'm thinking about it, so I'll announce that I'm thinking about it, and maybe I'll think about it. That's about as clear as a bell as we're going to get. You know what I mean?
Isn't that
as declarative as what we are hearing at this point? But I'm going to declare that we're going to stay right here, and we're going to cover this issue on this program. That I will declare, and we won't back off from that.
We are, and we are going to do that very, very intensely, because it's important that we get the right man in office this year. And when I talk about the right man, I'm talking about the right man from the biblical as well as the constitutional perspective. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have our Washington Beat attorney with us, David New, today. And, of course, he's talking about an act called the Judicial Transparency Act that has been put up before the Senate by Charles Grassley from Iowa. And I think it's a very good act. And David New, you can talk more about that. And, of course, encourage our listeners to go ahead and call the switchboard there in Washington, the Senate switchboard and so forth. But before you go into it in any more detail, you said really what this bill does is call for an inspector general who will basically keep his eye on what the judiciary is doing and how the justices are acting and so forth and so on, as it relates to any legal or criminal matters. I guess I should probably say better criminal matters. But here's my question, David. If I recall it correctly, you said that the inspector general would be appointed by the chief justice and then, of course, confirmed by the Congress. By the Senate, I guess it would be specifically, correct? If indeed the inspector general is appointed by the chief justice, doesn't that break it down just a little bit there?
Yes, I can understand why you would feel that, because it does. It's the chief justice, and of course, the chief justice could also be a target for this. There are no term limits. It is a 4-year term, but the Chief Justice can reappoint that same individual repeatedly. There are no limits to how many times, like the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution for limiting terms of president. But, yes, there is that issue. But, you know, there is one other thing that, you know, with what David had brought out before, David Kistler, one of the duties is under number 5 to recommend changes in, it says, quote unquote, recommend changes in laws or regulations governing the judicial branch. One of the things that I think that we need to do, or something needs to be done, is if there isn't some kind of a law or that has a little bit more teeth in it, to where a judge just doesn't go out and perform same-sex marriages, something so blatantly at odds with his or her duty, because you're going to make that decision and you're performing these marriages. I don't understand how anybody can expect the judge to be objective and give it a fair hearing under circumstances like that. You know, these people on the Supreme Court, they are no longer judges. They really aren't. We are told that we have 535 members of Congress. We have 100 senators and 425 members of the House of Representatives, but that's not really true. We really have 544 members of Congress, because there are 9 more people, except these people never have to face an election. They never have to face the voter. They never have to ask for a contribution to run their campaigns, and yet they make all kinds of decisions that the Constitution doesn't give them the power to make, one of which is the issue of same-sex marriage. If the people in Ireland can vote on this issue, why is it that the American people cannot vote on this issue?
Well, you know, that's just the point, David New. You know, this whole idea of same-sex marriage being at the court shouldn't even be there, in my opinion.
No.
You know that? I mean, when you take into consideration what the federal government has the responsibility to oversee according to our Constitution, nowhere in the Constitution does it talk about the idea of marriage. What is it even doing there in the first place?
Well, there was a case back in the 20s where the Supreme Court defined the word liberty in the 14th Amendment, the Due Process Clause in the 14th Amendment, in a very broad way. They defined it to include a lot of things, including one of which was marriage. Of course, the kooky interpretation is about as kooky as it could possibly be, because nobody thinks that the Due Process Clause and the Fifth Amendment, where the 14th Amendment got its origins from, nobody thinks the word liberty in the Fifth Amendment refers to marriage. And yet they have this strange metamorphosis that occurs from the Fifth Amendment down to the time you get to the 14th Amendment. This word liberty evolves into a new meaning that it never had before. And it's just one of these weird things. And this is making our Supreme Court a quasi-legislative branch of government. And that is wrong.
David, may I ask this, going back to my question before the break, and that has to do with the two justices, Kagan and Ginsburg, who technically, I believe you have made it very clear, you believe they should recuse themselves. Does Congress not have a role to play in that if those two justices are deemed to have in any way violated the law by not recusing themselves? Can Congress not step in and do something at that point?
It doesn't appear that there's any law along these lines, but I think this might be one of the things, this is why I read this, recommend changes in laws or regulations governing the judicial branch. I think there should be a procedure for the Senate Judiciary Committee and the House committees to initiate an investigation concerning judges who should be recused. There should be some procedure, because right now the rule is, the Supreme Court justice makes that decision solely on his own. Not even the other eight members can do that for him or her.
Well, this is such a situation, and you know, more and more it appears as though the Supreme Court, that is to uphold the law of the land, being the United States Constitution, violates the Constitution in their actions. I mean, should it not be that this idea of marriage is a state's right issue anyway?
We have something called a Bill of Rights, and there are 10 of those, and the 10th one deals directly with the subject that you're talking about. This is where the 10th Amendment, and of course you might as well erase the 10th Amendment, because the Supreme Court has already done it. On their Constitution, there is no 10th Amendment. They get to decide whatever they want to do by manipulating the definition of the word liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 202-224-3121. Please, when you have opportunity, call the Capitol Hill switchboard, call your senator or your congressman, and let them know that you support Senator Charles Grassley's Judicial Transparency Act. They will know what you're talking about.
Give that number again, would you please, David?
It is 202-224-3121.
Sam, you have a question, I believe.
Well, I was just going to make a comment, as you were saying there, David, and I think you were right on the money. I mean, this whole issue of accountability, it is vacant from the judicial system, and the constitutional mechanism for accountability is Congress. If Congress fails in their duties, and I think that's what Dave was alluding to there earlier, if they fail, then there is no accountability, which then obviously gives rise to the need for this. You know, again, I just remind everybody who's listening, I mean, our whole frame of government, a representative republic, is to be self-governed. And those we put in office must be of people of integrity and character, which is what, Gary, you talked about with biblical qualifications, because if a person does not purposely limit their own actions, you have nothing more than more laws, more laws, more laws, and what's it do? So, Dave, you may want to speak to that, too. I mean, can we even by law prohibit this to happen without having people of character integrity in office?
I think you hit it on the head. We do need an IG. We do need to have some mechanism where these people can be challenged. Because, if you don't, the internal mechanism, if we don't have the mechanism in our hearts, then the government has to pass all kinds of laws to control it. And that leads to more and more dictatorship and more control of people.
Well, I'll tell you what, we thank you, David New, for bringing this to our attention. Quickly give that phone number that they can call.
It's 202-224-3121, the Capitol Hill switchboard.
And ask your senator or representative to support the Charles Grassley Judicial Transparency Act. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500. Or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. See, when he was being tempted, he prayed. When it was time to choose his disciples, he prayed. In Luke 6, he decided to determine the Father's thoughts. It says he prayed all night. When Jesus was faced with important decisions, he prayed. I have found that our stewardship most of the time involves us making important decisions. Are we praying first?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
In Job chapter 1, we're told about a man of great integrity whose name was Job. Consistent in his walk before God, God proclaimed him perfect. Honorable in his life before others, his friends proclaimed him upright. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, are you like Job? God trusted him so strongly that he challenged the devil to buffet him, even in times of enormous testing when his children were killed, possessions stolen, friends proved themselves unfriendly, and a discouraging wife told him to curse God and die. Job's faith didn't waver. In fact, because his heart was right with God, he could say with full confidence in the face of terrible calamity, naked came I into the world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the end, God healed Job, restored twice what he had lost, but only after Job prayed for his friends and thanked God for his trials. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, can God trust you like he did Job? Will you respond like Job?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I was just thinking, for those of you who may be new to our program today, we just want to remind you that we are on this radio station at this same time every day. And there is no program quite like this across all of America, where you have really three preachers who are talking about the issues of the day from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. And of course, as Sam Rohr said just a little bit ago, you know, as it relates to the upcoming presidential election, we are going to be dealing with it here, and we are going to be dealing with it from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. And therefore, I firmly believe, ladies and gentlemen, that this program can be of great value to you, not because of who we are, but because of the topics that are out there and because of the way that we will be approaching those topics. Of course, yesterday we rather extensively talked about this idea of same-sex marriage being before the United States Supreme Court. We've already talked a little bit about it today with our Washington beat attorney, David New. We're going to continue to keep it before you because we must pray, and pray that the United States Supreme Court justices will make a decision from the biblical and the constitutional perspective, which in reality means that marriage is going to be remain defined as between a man and a woman only. Pastors, preach on the subject. Lead your congregations into prayer. Those of you who are not pastors, study what the Bible says about marriage, that it's between a man and a woman, as well as what the Bible says about homosexuality, that it is an abomination unto the Lord. I just read an article a bit ago that said that homosexuality is the same as any other sin, in that it can be forgiven through Christ. Well, it can be forgiven through Christ. I've known homosexuals who've come to Christ, but it is one sin that's named as an abomination unto the Lord, which means, in my understanding, it has a higher level of sinfulness before Almighty God. I can't explain that, but, you know, it's one of few sins that are recognized by the Word of God as being abomination, which means it's very, very, very serious. And so we need to pray that our court stands up for truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, and so that marriage might remain as being between a man and a woman only here in the United States of America. The court has some corruption within it, like almost any other element of government today, and we need to pray for truth and justice. And Sam, having said that, this situation down in Baltimore is becoming even more and more corrupt. We've heard that the city attorney, she's not the district attorney, I don't think, but she's the attorney for the city. I can't remember the exact title that's given to her. But anyway, it's Marilyn Mosby. The report that we've heard is that she's refusing to release the autopsy report of the fellow there that was killed, and even refusing to release these reports to the local Baltimore police who were in the midst of their own investigation. You know, this is something that's uncalled for. What is she trying to hide?
Well, Gary, that is part of the problem. Matter of fact, one of the attorneys, or the attorney for actually the only woman officer that was charged in this case, a fellow named Ivan Bates, He actually made the statement that, quote, there is something in that autopsy report that they are trying to hide, end quote. Now, see, what was happening at the same time is while this went forward, the police department in Baltimore was also in process of making an investigation into this whole episode. What this individual has done, Marilyn Mosby has done, is that she has taken this autopsy report and she has held it, not even shared it with the investigative team of the police department, although, if we all remember, she made a statement basically charging all of these officers that were a part, that were in that van and so forth, and actually she has pronounced them guilty. And she has ascribed to them, judgments of manslaughter and that kind of a thing. And this piece of the equation that may determine very well guilt or innocence or how Freddie Gray died, she is withholding. That's what the attorney is saying. There's something really up about this. And I would agree. This is a critical piece of information. It ought to be there for all of those who are involved. And this is an issue. And I predict it's going to become a bigger issue if she doesn't give it up.
I think we have David News still with us. From my screen says that Dave, are you still with us, sir?
Oh yes, I'm trying to behave myself.
Yeah, well, that's a. I realize that could be a job, but let me ask you, since you're still with us here, isn't she obligated to release the findings of that autopsy report?
Yes, she is. That's going to come out. It's going to come out, and I'll tell you, this lady, she better watch it, because that city of Baltimore is on the edge. That city can turn into an absolute riot and chaos if she doesn't pull back and start acting right. She's playing with fire, that lady.
Well, and it's not getting any better. She reminds me of our Attorney General here in Pennsylvania, Catherine Kane. I think they both came out of the same boat or something along that line. And Dave Kistler, you know, we are in a critical point in time in America today where we see corruption in almost every level of government. What are we going to do about it?
Well, Gary, my fear is this. My fear is that we're having a duplication in Baltimore of what happened down in Ferguson, and that is this false narrative that was perpetuated for literally days, and that is the hands-up, don't-shoot narrative, which did not occur. And so evidently Ms. Mosby has some narrative she wants to advance, and it's against these officers, and there is something standing in her way. There is a speed bump in her way, maybe much more than a speed bump, in these autopsy results, and she does not want them released because it's going to interfere with her narrative. Now, that would be my interpretation of what's taking place, and as David New said, she must release this. If she doesn't, she is in a whole lot of trouble as the top prosecutor there in the city of Baltimore. So, again, it's a rush to judgment. It's an attempt to make a statement, create a narrative, and the truth doesn't matter.
Sam Rohr, you know, as things go on and become more corrupt in our country and in our government, is it time for another Declaration of Independence, or do we just need to try to get back to that one?
Yeah, well, Gary, there's nothing wrong with the one we have. We just need to reclaim what we have and be focusing again on the truth. The truth, not manipulated evidences or whatever, but the truth. This is what we've got to get back with. This until we reclaim absolute truth and say it does exist, we will not be able to answer the questions. If we do, Gary, we will be able to address all these issues.
We need to get back to truth. Amen. Well, we want to thank David New for being with us today, and we thank those of you who have joined us by radio for your presence, too. Don't forget, tomorrow is Phone In Friday. We will have a specific question for you to consider, so you might want to join us at that time. Until tomorrow, on behalf of Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, and today David New, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.